precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it a great privilege, Lord, to be gathered here in your little building, Lord, you prepared for us. Lord, we're thankful to see the young adults with us this night, Lord, and we ask you to bless them in a mighty way. Lord, and all that is tuned in, Lord, via the internet, just ask you to have your way in everything that's said and done, everything that's sung. Lord, that we may give all the glory and honor back to you through our lives, Lord. We ask it now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to turn our little capstone books over to page 10. My brother had us sing this not too long ago, but I would like to sing it again. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Amen. There will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love divine. Love that brought him from the realms of glory. Just to save a sinful soul. Your papers with you. It's called Draw Me Close to You. Amen. Let that be our greatest desire. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find the way, bring me back to you. I'd lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend, because it's worth it all. Because without him, you have nothing in this life. You have absolutely nothing. You have no assurance of tomorrow. But if he is your desire, no one else can do. No one else can fill that. Because nothing else can take your place, Lord. Amen. To feel the warmth of your embrace near me each and every day. Every day I get out of bed and I know you're right there with me and you're leading, you're guiding me, then I know I'm going to be okay. Help me find the way, Lord. Bring me back to you. Hallelujah. Amen. If you can make that your want and your desire, everything's going to be okay in your life. Amen. Nothing else is going to take the place of him. Amen. Remember that. Let's turn our books, our only belief. Brother Clayton mentioned this before service. You know what page that's on, buddy? I had it wrote down. Sweet Holy Spirit. Sweet Heavenly Dove. Amen. Stay right here with us. 277. Only believe. It's a beautiful little song. Amen. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of expression. to profit when you say, hallelujah, I'm going to walk with Jesus all the way. May that be your greatest desire. Amen. There's nothing in this world worth taking that desire right there away. I'm going to walk with Jesus all the way, and He'll take care of you. Amen. You will have problems, but He will help you through them. Amen. He's precious, kids. Don't ever forget it. Amen. As long as you have Him, you have everything. Nothing else in this life matters. I know we like to think ahead and we like to dream ahead. What's it? What can I gain in this world while I'm here? But if you get Jesus first, everything else will be given to you as you need it. Amen. According to His will. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Anyone have a need upon their heart by that praise in their hand? Remember, He knows everything. Amen. Let's take it before Him as we pray. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are such a privileged people, Lord. We feel in our hearts. Lord, there are so many paths, Lord, we could have walked down. So many paths, Lord, we could have chosen. But by Your grace, Lord, we chose to walk with You. Lord, that's such a precious desire in this day and age, Lord, to have. If you have that in your heart, Lord, there's nothing worth trading for. Lord, it's worth it all the way. Lord, we have so many needs in this life. Lord, without You, where would we be? No one to walk beside us and hold our hand and to lead and guide us on the right decisions. Lord, we can have the whole world. But we ain't got nothing if we ain't got Jesus. Oh, God. Lord, dip down Your love into our hearts this night, Lord. By Your grace, Lord, lift us up into that sphere, Lord, that we will give our lives unto You, Lord, willingly. Lord, with a desire burning in our hearts, Lord, knowing You're the only way I can make it home. Lord, we love and appreciate You, Lord. We ask You to meet every one of our desires this night according to Your will. Lord, I ask You to bless these young adults, Lord, sitting right here tonight. Lord, they got a long life ahead of them, Lord, if You don't take them off the scene early. Lord, for some reason, Lord, but we ask that they give their life unto You now. Lord, they let You be the Lord of their life. Lord, the candle that lights the way. Lord, and in their path will become so much clearer. Lord, then they'll know why they've been sent here. Lord, we've been sent here to do Thy will. Lord, and all the other precious brothers and sisters, Lord, that's sitting out there tonight in their homes, maybe tuned in tonight. Lord, we ask You to bless them in a mighty way. Lord, we know they go through so many tests and trials, Lord, the older they get. Lord, we ask You to help them through them. Lord, let them know that they're on our minds. We love and appreciate them. We don't forget about them. Lord, just bless them richly tonight is my prayer, Lord. Just walk with them. Make their steps easier, Lord, in the days to come. And bless them with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we'll give You all the glory, the praise, and honor that's due unto You. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I guess you kids have a song you want to sing. If you could come on up. Amen. is so true. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll ask our pastor to come now. Amen. And bring what the Lord has laid on his heart. Amen. And I want to sing that little chorus, Because He Lives. Mike would mention it before service. Sing that little chorus, Because He Lives. Amen. I can face tomorrow.
Because He lives, I can face.
Bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, what a great and grand privilege it is, Lord, to be gathered here tonight and to have these precious young people with us. It's such a blessing, Lord. And Father, be able to just separate a time together, and Lord, where we can speak to them the Word of God. As you've laid this little subject upon my heart, Lord, I ask that you would just let it go down into the good ground, Lord, and open up the hearts, and Lord, stir the desires within. That, Lord Jesus, truly the desire be to serve you and to surrender all their heart to you, knowing we're running out of time and will soon end on this, what we call time on earth at this time, Lord. And Father, I know you promised you'd never let one slip away from you. You'd make sure you gathered them in. So we ask now that you would bless us and bless me, Lord, to be able to bring these few words of strength and encouragement. And Lord, let it be a blessing to us. As we ask it in your most glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, as I said in my prayer, it's such a privilege to be here with you. Amen. Trust the Lord will bless you and strengthen you. And if you'd like to turn your Bibles, if you have your Bible with you, you can turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter, and actually read a verse that we have ministered on last few weeks here and there. Brought it in with what we was bringing. And find Romans 8th chapter, and we're going to read that 14th verse. Amen. And I was just praying since we had talked about having the service, and early Tuesday morning, I believe it was about 3:30 Tuesday morning, Lord laid this on my heart. So trust it'll be a blessing to you and give you a little leadership and guidance. Amen. All right, we'll read here. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now may the Lord bless reading His Word again. You may be seated. We're going to talk about being led and being that follower and talk about what is leading us. And we know to be a good follower and to be led by the Holy Spirit, you've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Of course, we know. That's what we see here in Romans 8th chapter. We just got done reading. And the first verses before that, what we read. So, as I said, we want to talk about this leadership. And Brother Branham spoke on leadership. And we realize, as he said, you know, there's something that's always going to lead us in life, you know. And truly, if we're sons and daughters of God, something will always lead us. But even as we're children, he spoke about being children, you know, we're born from mother, and mother and dad begin that leadership and guiding us on what to do and training us to maybe not do this thing or that thing in life. And, you know, maybe even as a little toddler and getting up, starting to walk around, you know, maybe they trained us to not tear up trinkets or whatever, maybe laying on the stand or certain things we shouldn't touch and different things like that. And as we growed, you know, they constantly would tell us what to do and lead us and guide us. And we looked up to that leadership. And even as we'd get older, parents, until we left home, they would always want to lead us and guide us. They wanted to make sure we was led in the right direction, because they know, according to Scripture, that they should raise us according to the Word of God. And so that's what every parent feels as a responsibility. And I know sometimes, and I've seen it in my own family at times, you know, especially my sister, she kind of oftentimes rebelled against that, you know. And some children do. They rebel against that leadership. And when they do, times get rough, you know. And it's and oftentimes later in life they pay for it, you know. So we realize that we've got to have this leadership. Because even after we grow up, you know, and here some of you are growing up, you're getting older, and, you know, some, especially some of you young men, you'll be getting jobs and things, and you'll still have to be led. You know, the boss is going to tell you what you need to do and how to do it, and maybe something you don't quite understand how to do it, he'll train you how to do it, but he'll lead you on what to do and what time you got to be there, what time you're supposed to leave, what time you go to lunch, all these different things. Even you sisters, as you become older and you've taken your training, hopefully from your mothers, you know, of how to do the dishes and do the laundry and all these different things, and how to raise children and all these different things. But as I said, and there's a place, though, you come to in life that you've got to have Jesus Christ fully lead your life. And that's, you know, all these other things are important, and they have to be. But that is the greatest and most important thing, is to have Jesus Christ to lead you. And to be a follower, though. See, if you desire to be led, you can want to be led in all these things, and you can see you're supposed to be led, but if you don't follow, then you can't be led, you see. So we must follow him at whatever he wants us to do. Sometimes it's a great price. Sometimes it's things that maybe the flesh don't particularly care for. But yet, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then you will understand these things, that the Holy Spirit must lead you and guide you. There's a lot of adults that don't understand that. They've went through churches all their life and heard a lot of messages, and they don't understand what it is to be led by the Spirit. And oftentimes, God will try to lead people, and they don't like that feeling, and they don't like that thing of being bound to that. So immediately they'll go jump for some kind of entertainment or something to take that time up and push God off the scene. But this has come to a time you can never, ever in your life push God off the scene. He must be in your life constantly, every moment, every second of your life, you see. So I'm going to read something Brother Branham said in leadership, and then we'll go into another scripture to read. But he said in leadership, this was in October 31st, 1965, he said, so many young people are making that mistake today, refusing to be led by the Lord Jesus. Now we see what a fatal thing it is to refuse eternal life and to be led by Jesus. A leadership, you see. And when he said, "Come, follow me," refuse that. That's a scary thing. To refuse when he says, "Follow me." How does he say, "Follow me"? You'll hear him tell you that in the Word. You may feel that little, hear that little small voice talking to you in your heart. "Come and follow me." But don't you ever, ever refuse that. Nourish it. Pray. Study. Cry out to God. If there's anything at all on the inside calling on you and telling you, "Come, follow me." That is such a precious thing. To follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow him through his word. But there's some things that goes along with that following. And I believe the Lord Jesus, through the scripture, has given us a little clue here through something Paul said. In Philippians 2, and the 5th verse, we'll begin to read. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." I heard he's talking about our Lord Jesus. And here, knowing in our Lord Jesus was God in flesh. You see? St. John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And 14th verse, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." So we realize that God was in that flesh. You see? He was tabernacled in that flesh. So here was God operating through that flesh. And he tells us, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." And then he goes on to say, "But made himself of no reputation." Now listen. "Made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." Now let's read it with a little bit of understanding and what the original Greek says. And the prophet talked about these things. "But made himself of no reputation," which is, it means you laid, he laid that equality aside. Okay? He laid it aside for the reason that he took upon him the form of a servant. Okay? That was God in flesh. He laid that equality aside. Okay? And he says, "Took upon him the form of a servant." And we know what a servant is. I wrote it down. "One who gives himself up to another's will." Look at that. And that's what we each have to do to be led by the Holy Spirit. We have to give up our own will. You see? Our own ambitions. Now that's something that's very hard for young people to do. I know. No, I experienced it. I was there one time. It's very hard for young people to do. But through Christ, through him, it's not impossible, you see. You can be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Because now you got to remember, we got a lot of impersonations. We've got a lot of fakes going on today. People just say they're following the Lord and Christians and believers, and you can't find it in their life, you see. They might look a little good on the outside, look like good moral people. When it comes to fulfilling these things we've been teaching the last few weeks, they can't get it, you see. "And being found in the fashion of a man," here's one little clues, "he humbled himself and become obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross." Now think of that. He was such a follower of the Father, that he become such a place of, he humbled himself in such a way that he become obedient, even unto death. Now that's what a real follower, that's the kind of obedience you have to have. That regardless what it costs you in life, what it may keep you from fulfilling through the carnal flesh and carnal pleasures, you still are that one that is obedient as Christ was, even unto death. And this death today, friends, is death to ourselves, death to our own carnal ambitions, our own carnal wills, what we want in life. Become dead to that, you see. Now, we know a lot of young people is graduating at this time of year, and they're getting ready to step out and do their thing. Maybe what they trained for in school, maybe do what they didn't train for in school. Maybe by now not being under that leadership of that schooling constantly and being under that type of a force that they have to do that, now they might just turn loose and go wild and do some very terrible things. Maybe choose things and make decisions they should have never made, you know. But now it's come up to a time where they could find out what they can do, you know. They feel they're free, especially they get 18 years old and they feel, my, I'm on my own now. I can do what I want to do. I trust that each and every one of your wills will be to do whatever Jesus Christ wants you to do. Because this way is the only way. This way is the only way of eternal life. Yeah, I know it's hard to maybe sit there and understand sometimes of, well, I don't want to give this up and I don't want to give that up. But you've got to be willing to, you see. And He knows your heart. And that's what this is all about, you see. You all are growing up, you're getting older, and we know it's time is ending. We know it's getting close to the appearing of the Lord. And my desire is to see every one of you make it. Every one of you. But you've got to be a good follower. Yes. You've got to be willing to follow Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to read something here, and the prophet brought a message on it. We'll bring some few things on after we read this scripture, but I'm going to read a little more than what he read, and maybe you can catch a little more of what he's going to be talking about. But scripture is found in Luke 18 chapter, and again, it's about, as we know it, as the rich young ruler. It's been preached on many times, but yet it's such a reality for what I want to speak on tonight. Luke 18 chapter, and we'll begin to 15 verse. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Why? But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him. See, this was a little bit of the sermon he was getting, this rich young ruler. And he's got something that he's wondering about, that he's feeling on the inside, but it just ain't great enough, though. But he goes on and said, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, this was a young lad, so keep that in mind. Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? How many of you have had that same question? Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? You know, I feel, maybe I see some that's filled with the Holy Spirit. And I see their life, and you may ask yourself, and you may ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, how can I get this? How can I be in that position? How can I be one that has this eternal life, you see? And he goes on to say, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. I think probably I could for sure say every one of you sitting here tonight know that, don't you? You know them commandments, don't you? Yes. You've heard them before. You might have read them before. You might have heard mother and dad read them. You might have heard them, the preacher up there preaching about it, you know? Okay. And he said, all these things have I kept from my youth. Now this young man said, all these things I've kept from my youth, you know? So why can't I have eternal life? But now you got to remember now, the Lord Jesus knew way down inside, okay? Knew exactly what it was going to take. Now remember, he kept all these commandments. He was a good kid. Done a lot of good things like he was supposed to do. From the time he was just a little fella, he kept these things, you see? He said, but now when Jesus heard these things, because he said, I kept all these things from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Now one thing about it, he knows what all of us lack. Me, you, whoever it is. He knows what we all lack. Okay? Maybe something different, not another one lacks. But he knows what we all lack. You see? He goes on to tell him now, sell all thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come. Famous, precious words. Come. Follow me. He's telling this young man, accept my leadership. Follow me. Accept my leadership. Now remember, to really follow his leadership, again, it takes a new birth, and you truly have to be a real, genuine, real prisoner to follow that leadership. You may sit there and think, well, that don't sound very interesting. I'm going to tell you what, to follow his leadership, friends, to the carnal flesh, it's never interesting. But to the spiritual minded, it's very interesting. It's always such a wonderful thing to understand and to know you're following him. And to know you have this eternal life as you follow him. Remember this young man, he gave up this opportunity of eternal life because he didn't want that leadership in his life. He didn't want to follow it. Not when it came to get rid of all the things he had. Now, we'll talk about that. It's not just about owning all this stuff in life that you call yourself rich by. Every one of you young people sitting there is rich tonight. You're rich with a family. You're rich with food on your table. You're rich with clothes on your back. You're rich because, I don't know as any of you, your mother and dad would let you go hungry or let you go without something you need. They would do all they could to help you and do what they could to lead you on the way. You're rich in many ways. You may not own a town, a city, or a big company and all that, but you're still rich. And does those things keep me from following Jesus? Because I got it made. I'm not hungry. I don't need clothing. I got shoes on my feet. Got a nice family. Got a lot of nice friends. But does any of that keep you from following Jesus? See? Let's go into some things here. He says here, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they heard it say, and he said, and it says here, and they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. So is there a reward for him being your leadership? Yes. Sure is. To follow him, to lay aside any distractions, is there a reward? Absolutely. No greater reward could you have than eternal life. Because this life we have now won't last very long. You know, as I've said over the pulpit before, you know, when we're young and we're full of venom, as to say, and got a lot of energy and all that thing, you know, we think, my, we're going to live forever. But when you start getting my age, and, you know, those brothers age back there, but when you start getting older, you begin to see how quick it can end and how fast those 50, 60 years has went. You look back and say, where did it go? Young people ever hear people say it all the time? Where does time go? It flies, you know. And it does. The older you get, it seems like it goes so fast. You know, I look back and I think, my, it seemed like it was no time I was a child, you know. And yet here I'm getting to be the age I am. And I think, how could it be, you know? So as your age changes, your desires change too. Even if you don't have the Holy Ghost, your desires change. You know? Sometimes in life, you know, you see people just act like total fools when they're young and just do some of the craziest stuff. Then you see them get 50, 60 years old and they think back, why in the world did I do that crazy stuff? You know? They wouldn't go do that now. You know, it's just no way. Because desires change as you get older. But Christ wants our desires to change to his complete will. To where everything that our desires is, whether we're young or old, will be for Christ. You see? And that's what he's looking for out of every one of your lives. You see? And I trust he will find that in every one of you. Now, some of you may be sitting there and you may be filled with the Holy Ghost. And some of you may not. But right now it's not too late. Cry out to God now, you see. So listen to what the prophet is saying. Now, in this message, it's titled, Come Follow Me. And I want you to pay attention to some of the things that he said in here and listen closely. I don't know how much of this I'll get done. I don't know. I'll try to get done with it tonight as quickly as I can. Have you got plenty of time tonight? You sure? All right. I hope you do. And if I get boring, just tell me. Just raise your hand and say, okay, I've had enough. Maybe I'll go sit down. All right, come follow me. All right, and he says here, I think the word come follow me, that would be the best advice I could give if I was talking to 10,000 kids. Come follow me. If I was talking to 10,000 kids. For if I was talking to just what I am, here tonight. It's a command. And the greatest thing that I think was ever offered anybody, and especially a young person, was follow me. Ain't that something? The prophet would say that. The greatest thing that could ever be offered to a young person is come, follow me. You're going to follow somebody, he says. And you are. Somebody's going to influence you. People don't realize that, but somebody's going to influence you. Let's trust it won't be the wrong person that influences you. When you go to school and do things and have to go places and different things in life, don't never let the wrong thing influence you. By God's grace, many times he kept me from being influenced by the wrong thing. While I was in school and still never filled with the Holy Ghost. It was God's mercy and grace that kept me, you see. He said, you're going to follow somebody. He said, you remember that. And it's true. You're going to follow somebody. And the way you follow the person, be sure who this person's following. Yeah. Paul one time said, be followers of me as I am of Christ. In other words, just as I follow Christ, you follow me. And now at this turning point, this stage of life, we're all come, and many times you've heard me holler Rickies and Rickettas and things. It's the age. It's the age that we're living in. It really isn't those people. Those people are people like we are. Those kids out here with these hot rods and running up and down the street and carrying on the way they do, smoking cigarettes, drinking liquor, and girls dressed immorally and things. Them girls and boys are like we are. They're humans. They love, they eat, they drink, they sleep, they breathe. They've got to die. They're people just like we are. And yet, they have been possessed with an evil spirit. So make sure, if you're following somebody, don't follow somebody that's possessed with an evil spirit. Okay? Take that as advice down the road. You may not be facing it as you're sitting there right now, but you may face that in a few months. Okay? They don't know it. They don't realize it. They can't help themselves. I was praying for a man today, a sinner man, and seeing the way he was acting and things, and I got home, I couldn't help but to pray for him. I said, Lord, help him. He does not know what he's doing. He doesn't understand it. I'm sure if he knew what was right, he would never want to do those things, you see. They don't know it. He says, but because sometimes some leader that they've been following had led them the wrong road. Yeah. Sometimes it can be a friend that will lead you the wrong road. Sometimes it can be a relative. Sometimes it can be a carnal minister that can lead you the wrong road. You see? But you make sure whoever you follow, make sure it's the right way to follow. Make sure, if you want to be really, really sure, as he'll get to, he's speaking about people following people, but if you want to really, really make sure you follow the right thing, that Bible lays right in front of you. Lays in your hands. That's what you follow, you see. Now, you girls and boys know better than that, see? He says, you've been taught better than that. You've got better parents and sounder training than to do a thing like that. You know better, see? But he said they don't. He said they haven't been brought up right. Now, these people out here that's involved in all this insanity today, you see these young people with their colored hair, pink, red, purple, greens, and junk hanging all over them, and tattoos just plastered all over them. They've been following the wrong thing. He said, because the churches that they go to are modern churches, modernistic. And they just live for the day. It's more popular. The morals become virtue to them. So, as I said one time in a play that I said down there not long ago of Sodom and Gomorrah, that the evil possessed woman said to Lot, what you call immoral, I call virtue. Okay, that's about what it's got to today. The things that's supposed to be moral and right and clean, but it's nothing but filth, now they consider that as virtue. You see? That's the good thing. You know, it's a good thing to dress like this world dresses and act like they act and use words they use. It's the good thing. It's the virtue of it, you see? But it isn't. You see? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So we're back to that place again, and we know we are, you see. Let's look at this fellow for a few minutes that we read about, and he's talking about this rich young ruler. No doubt this kid was born in a good home. Now, listen to what he's going to say, because he's going to liken it to you tonight sitting there. Okay? Might be kind of hard to figure out right now, but he's going to do this. Now, listen. He says, he was born in a good home, like you kids are. He was brought up with good parents, like you kids are. Because it proved it. When Jesus presented to him the commandments of God, he said, I've kept these since my youth. So he was raised right. He knew that he shouldn't commit adultery. He knew he shouldn't lie. He knew he shouldn't steal and all these different things. He knew he should honor his parents, his mother and father. He knew this. Okay? It showed that he had. He had been, see? He had been brought up right. He wasn't just a snatch out. And he says, he had been brought up to know what's right. Kids like all you are, he says. Yeah. Probably come up under good God, he says, God-fearing mother and daddy, see, teach them right. When he was a kid, he said, that's good, he says. Maybe as a little baby, his mother had high ambitions of him being a great man someday. His father was worth money and could school him and give him an education that he could. And he could come out with a good education and be able to be something in the world. And with the sincerity of this mother and dad educating this kid, and perhaps come to his graduation time like you are, and see the time when he was passed through school and had his education. And no doubt that he perhaps was the pride and joy of the mother and daddy's life. Yeah. No doubt in them days he had fine horses like you have automobiles. Good dad, mother, like you all have got. That sees to it that you've got good clothes and a car and just enjoy life. Just something like you have today. Yeah. And the father and mother praying constantly. Yeah. That their son would turn not, or he said that the son would not turn out just an ordinary man, but he would turn out extraordinary man. All parents want that. They want their child to be the best they can be, you know. Whatever it is, they want to be the best they can be. Okay. Did you hear Jesus refer to that commandment, honor thy father and mother, and then stopped? He didn't go any further. Honor thy father and mother. He went with these other things first, and then he stopped on, and there could have been a lot more things he could have said. But he stopped on, and honor thy father and thy mother. See, and that's the ambition of any parents. All your parents want you to be honoring them, respecting them, you see? Yeah. And he says, any parent has that ambition. He said to do the best for their children, and they can educate them, give them things maybe that they wasn't able to get. And that's the way I feel about my children. And I think sometime in going to school now, I think I send Becky and Sarah and Joseph into the high schools and things where all this is going on at. And I think I'm going to take them and get them in the mountains and raise them up there like the Indians live. Because they don't want you to be in that stuff. They know what it is. I know what it is. And if it wasn't for God's mercy and grace in my life, I'd have been just like some other family. I'd have been like some of my buddies in school, you know, right into all that filth and garbage, and maybe still to this day been smoking marijuana and things. Yeah, like some of them are. That's my age and still got hooked on it and still doing it. Yeah, living on drugs at my age. I could take you to town and show you a man that's my age. If he didn't pass for 80, he wouldn't pass for anything. He looks just about the same age as my dad does. And he's my age. But a very rough life. I honestly don't know how he's still living. But he is. But that was his choice in life. But if it wasn't for God's mercy and grace in my life, I could have took the same choice. You see? Could have been an alcoholic right now. Could have had a big old fat round nose and red and blood veins sticking out and everything. My liver shot. If it wasn't for God's grace. If it ain't for God's grace in your life, young people, you're going to turn out a mess one of these days. A mess. But I trust God's mercy and grace is with you. And you will take heed to everything that He wants to lead you with. And accept His leadership.
He goes on to say here, do you know what? He says 86% conversions to Jesus Christ is done before they're 21 years old. How true that is. Before they're 21 years old. Some are later, but it's still, the statistics is, still, it's the highest number before they're 21 years old that they receive Christ. Their life and conversion life to Christ. It shows, statistics shows it, 86% come to Christ come before they're 21 years old. He said, you, after you pass that age, you become more molded or set in your ways. And I'm old enough to see it, friends. I've seen people at an older age be converted, and they battle and battle and battle, trying to let go of those old things they're set in their ways with. Yeah. That's why it's better to be converted now, friends. Your battle will be a lot easier, you see. I warn you. After you pass that age, you become more molded and set in your ways. Oh, it's possible. Yeah. Sure, he says. They'll come at 70 and 80 years old. But it's very rare. Very rare. Why? Because, again, when they become that age, the older you get, the more know-it-all you are. The more you know, you think. It's harder to yield to the humility of God's ways. Because we think we're set, we're well-learned, we know a lot, we're really Mr. or Miss Know-It-All. That's why you need to give your life to Jesus Christ now. Yes. Not tomorrow. Now. Tomorrow may be too late. You see. But there's nothing we can do unless there's something pricking in the heart. Jabbing you on the inside. And you're hearing something, come. Follow me. Accept my leadership. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Christ, the Word. Come accept my leadership. My guidance to you. You're getting older. And you're getting to the point you're about to leave your mother and dad's leadership. Some of you are. Who will you follow? Who will you choose to really follow in your life? You think some young prince is going to come along and he'll be your follower. He'll be the one you follow. One thing about it, you better make sure Jesus Christ is your leadership before you pick out that man. And marrying Christ. You see. You make yourself when you're young, he says. You set your ambitions to what you want to do and what you're trying to achieve in life. You think of it, he says. And as you think, of course your mind, it's presented in your mind as an unknown something that dominates your mind. And then when it becomes your mind, then you speak it, that you're going to do it. And then your ambitions drives you to it. So mother and father expecting this young man to his ambitions to be great enough and money to carry it out, no doubt prayed this young lad would get the opportunity. You see, they had done all they could do, and maybe having to find horses, and maybe very popular amongst the women, and would go, he says, and what would go for man would go for a woman, see, vice versa, because we're talking about human life, souls, both men and women. And then after all this opportunity the boy had, see, he become one, he was on Easy Street. Yeah, we would call it. Yeah. On a place where he didn't have to worry about anything too much. We kind of explain today as born with a silver spoon in your mouth. Yeah. Got it made. And some parents will go too far and they'll do too much for their children. And then their children won't work when they get older. They don't know what it is about. They don't know what it is to do on their own because mommy and daddy's babied them and handed them everything. And that's not right either, you see. That's ruined a lot of children. I've seen parents that went almost completely flat broke in their savings for retirement. and give their child something carnal that had nothing to do with God. And now have no money to live on. I've seen it happen, friends. That's going too far. You see. He said he didn't have to worry about too much. See, his parents had money and he became a ruler. And the Bible refers to here as a young ruler at a young age. Maybe in his teenage, just out of school, just out of graduation, maybe a few weeks before or something. And he's a ruler and he had all that hearts could desire, see. And the boy wasn't no modern Ricky, though. No. He's a fine kid. I believe when Luke wrote about it, and Mark, I believe it was Jesus looked at him and sighed because he loved him. There's something about the kid that Jesus loved. There was a nice personality hooked up with this kid. Which, you all have a nice personality. Yes. And he says, now of a nice family who had taught him commandments of God and seen that he kept them, you see, and he did it from his youth up. And the boy had an ambition. He wanted eternal life. He said, good master, what could I do to inherit eternal life? Tells us again. See, with all you got in the world, yet the soul is on the inside of you and tells you there is something that you need that you haven't got. It don't always have to be wealth. It could be popular. Some pretty girl, she's got her beauty that she can think of. Maybe she's very popular in school. I've seen girls when I was in school that wanted to be popular. They'd do anything to get there. Maybe the boy could get any girl he wants. He feels that he's kind of secure by that, you know. He said, that's not security. He said, that'll fade like the flower in the field. It'll go. And it won't be long. Just a few turns of the sun that's gone. And then you've got a soul that has to live eternity. And our life, friends, as James put it, was like a vapor. We are young, a lot of energy, a lot of ambitions. Before the sun goes down in life, you'll be old. And then someone will have to do things for you. You won't be able to do things on your own. You'll need help. You might be needing help to walk to a car. You might need help to get up steps of your house. You maybe not be able to carry your own groceries in. You'll maybe not hardly be able to get out of bed. In just a few turns of the sun. Then where is your life going? All this youth will vanish away in no time. Then what's it going to be worth? You say, oh, I'm young, I've got a long life ahead of me. You've got a short life ahead of you. If the Lord would tarry and you'd live to be 70, 80 years old, you've got a short life ahead of you. Very short. Take it from your parents and older people that know. It's heading that direction. Listen to them. Take their advice. Yeah. And this young kid must have had nice personality because he presented himself to the Lord Jesus. No, and he bowed on his knee and said, Master, good Master, what could I do to have eternal life? He said, why do you call me good? He said, when you know there's only one good and that's God. What did the young man express in this? That he was God. He said, thou knowest the commandments, keep them. See? So he said, what commandments, Master? He said, the commandments, honor thy father and mother, and so forth. He said, this I've done from my youth up. See, I've did this. And yet you're lacking one thing, he told him. Go sell what you have and distribute to poor, and the striking words, follow me. Do you hear him telling you tonight to follow him? Is there anything at all on the inside telling you to follow me? Follow me. Something down inside, maybe just a still, small pull in your heart. Follow me. Are you going to accept his leadership? See? What an opportunity, he says. That could have been Peter. He said, that could have been Peter, James, John, one of them. See, the kid had been trained and brought up right and presented to Christ to use him. Do you feel Christ wants to use you in some way? Do you feel that? Or would you rather have a life of just living all what you want to do? I'll never forget when I began to feel the Holy Spirit call me to preach. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. It just kept tearing at me and tore me to pieces. There was nothing in life interesting until I answered that call. What else could I do when something was pounding and pulsating? When that's the most interesting thing now. Is this what you want, Lord? Is this what you want? Is this your desire? And I cried and I cried and prayed and prayed and cried to make sure. Because I really didn't want to. Tried to get out of it, but it didn't work. I couldn't live unless I accepted his leadership. I trust that you have something, something will God will want to use in you in your life. Maybe it's to be a true example in your home, in your family, with the friends you're around. To be the true example of what a real Christian young person is. May you hear something down inside saying, follow me. Follow me. Come. Come, follow. And all the potentials that he had to him to use, probably educated, young, rich, influenced, see, where he could have presented the gospel and yet turned it down. He could present the gospel and yet turned it down. He said, what a racial thing that was for that young boy. But he says, follow me. Now see, he had to follow someone. Now, he had to either follow the influence of the people that he was associated with, or influence of some young lady, some influence of a gang of boys that he was associated with, his colleagues in school, or follow Jesus Christ in all of his goodness. What are you going to follow? Yet he knew he didn't have eternal life. That's why he was asking, what must I do? He knew he didn't have it. Kids, he says, that's what you've got to think about. He calls them kids, young people, kids. Now look at the boy tonight, what he could have been. But he turned it down. And what is he? What is he tonight? He is somewhere. He was a man. He is somewhere. He's waiting for judgment. Wow. Yet he had everything in life he could have had, wanted. But right now, wherever he's at, he's waiting for judgment. Yeah. He's waiting to face the judgment at that day. Turning down the same opportunity that is presented to you kids, he says. Wow. Almost under the same circumstances. I don't know why, friends. Precious young people. I had no clue of even knowing where this was at and even what this was. But I just went in my room, began to write down what he impressed on my heart. And as soon as I began to search, these things come. Didn't actually realize and remember that he said some of these things about young people that he did. No. But he said, here you are under the same circumstances. You say, yeah, but I ain't got all these fine horses and what this rich young ruler had and all this money, daddy with a bunch of money and all this, that, and the other. But as I said earlier, you're still rich. You're still rich. You're fine kids, he says. Good personalities. Fine fathers and mothers. And what you have, he says, don't even have to work unless you want to. And that's true with all of you. You don't have to work unless you want to. You would after you get 18, you need to get on your own way if you want to. Sister's a little different. Boys is definitely different. They need to. Don't have to work unless you want to. But there's something else that goes with that. There is something that goes with that. That word tonight. Right now. We're reading to you. It's that word that never dies. No. It'll still, he said, it's still a challenge to every young man and every young woman. Come. Follow me. Words don't die. No. Whenever you speak anything, just remember, whether it's in your car or in the secret, whether it's in the pulpit, whether it's down on the street corner, with your boyfriend or girlfriend, wherever it is, it never dies. Ever. It's got to live forever. When I seen that girl the other night in a vision, this young pretty girl, he's going to talk about Marilyn Monroe, Hollywood actress, and I seen her dying, reaching, trying to get help. Now, this was in a vision before she actually died. Okay? The Lord showed him. She died of a heart attack, Miss Monroe, and then that's been 2 years ago, and seen her dying, and two days later, she died. Then the other night, I heard the girl's voice. The kids had been telling me, Daddy, go down to and see the river on the of no return all the time. They wanted me to see that. They got a play like that on tonight. They told me a certain night would be on a week or two ahead of time, and I thought, well, I want to see that. Because I've been down there to the river two or three times, he says, about five times, I think, and I want to see it. And Miss Marilyn Monroe acted that out. And well, that he says, well, that was the girl I saw in the vision, he says. Was her. And there she was in picture and in action. And it's still around today. Yeah. The very act that she made on the river of no return when she took that picture, perhaps 15 years ago, it was an old picture, maybe 20 years ago, and she's been dead 2 years. And there she is again, alive, every action and every word. See, it's still so caught in magnetic tape until it's alive again. Not only that, but everything that we say is alive. Every word that we speak cannot die. Coming through the room is words now, forms of people. Television picks it up. You can speak right here and they hear you around the world. The same second, see? Even before you can hear it in this room, it goes around the world by electronics. Same as doing right now. See? And God's great screen picks that up. Now I'm talking about God's great screen. And every move and every act that you make, you've got to meet it at judgment. So the young fella, see, it's a good thing. Stop now. Think about these things. Because you're going to meet it again. That's why you want to make sure everything's right in Christ and accept Him as your leader. See? Let's trace this young man, the opportunity he had, and put yourself in his place. He goes on talking about comparing it with Monroe again. He says, let's skip a little bit. "But you kids, you're all fine kids and you're bound to have friends, but watch what kind of friends you have. Don't never forget that. Watch what kind of friends you have." I know some of you may sit there right now. Maybe somebody's sitting there thinking, "Oh, I have the friends I want to have." Don't forget, what I spoke to you will stand at judgment when you have to face judgment. You just warned. Mourning always comes before judgment. See? If that friend is following Christ, go with that friend. Follow Christ. But if it don't do it. That's why you don't want to follow any friends that ain't following Christ. It might be nice people, but be careful who you follow, friends, especially when you're young and can be so easily influenced. Okay? He said, let's look at him. We find out he perhaps kept his friends. He became a great ruler. He was a ruler. Later we find him so prosperous, he had to build extra barns to put his stuff in. And then he said to himself, after he got old and the cares of young life and things was past, all done, may and it was uncertain. And an old man, old woman like me, my wife, your mothers and dad, there isn't hardly anything that they can think of that, he says, don't want to get out and run up, and they don't want to get up and out and run up and down the streets now, you know, as young fellows would. Young women, dates, and who is going to be your wife and your husband, and see, that don't have to be in their mind. They've got children. He said, they're interested. They're in them. They're going to be, he said, they're going to be you all tomorrow, see, and there it is today and tomorrow. And here, so he's telling us in just a short time, this youth is going to pass away. If the Lord tarries, it's going to pass away. And it'll happen so fast, you won't understand even how it happened. As in Jerusalem yet today, they eat on the housetop this time of the day when it gets cool. We'll skip on down some more. He's talking about the boy being raised right again. Let's skip over here. Gosh, I'm getting in too much time here. Then listen to him. See, he wants to be an evangelist. And he says, then call that Jesus had given him, follow him, see, to be a soul winner. A young man returned him again. He remembered it. That he had five brothers, and back on the earth, that's when he was talking about the rich young man with Lazarus and so forth. Skip over that. Let me go to this. And we'll close because I've almost been an hour. All right. And always remember. Now listen. Now you listen. I'm closing. And always remember, accept that voice that says, follow me, and you'll always come out right. He's been talking about the word now. He's talking about that voice. Okay? And you'll always come out right. I believe you will, he said. And I've got confidence in you, he said. But just always remember that Jesus, that voice, is alive on earth tonight. And you're hearing his voice tonight through his word. See? Just the same as every voice and every word we spoke is still alive. But can you hear Jesus calling? When that voice goes out on that either wave or air, whatever they want to call it, you see they've got a transmitter that sends it out. You are the transmitter that sends it out. Now it takes the station to pick it up. And Jesus was the transmitter of God's word, for he was the triunity of God manifest in one man. He was the complete God and complete man. And the triunity of God, the triunity of attributes of God, as being Father, Son, Holy Spirit, was represented in that one man, Jesus Christ. So there he was, the Word. And he was the transmitter that said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life. Now, that word has went out from a transmitter. He said one day, verily I say unto you, if you say unto this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you have, said it will come to pass. You can have what you said. Now, if you can just be the station to pick it up. Y'all know how radio works. Transmits, waves out, radio picks it up. Now, if you can just be the station and that radio that picks it up. By some control inside of you, by faith, it'll move you right into the cycle of God, to the new birth, and be born again. Then you'll always be in contact then. to hear that voice that will always warn you when danger comes along. When things are wrong or going wrong, it'll always be a warning to you. And then, instead of someday being like the rich young boy that we were speaking of, be a man like Apostle Peter, Paul, or somebody that won souls for Jesus Christ. He said, "You do that, kids?" He said, "Can we pray?" We're going to pray. Let us all stand. Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, of standing behind this pulpit as a minister of gospel, we have a desire to see people saved and people right with you and doing everything that you want them to do. But Lord, we know that it's only a work your Holy Spirit can do. And Father, as we reminded these young people of the things the prophet said and these scriptures were saying, we're asking, Lord, that somebody in here, Lord, someone will accept your leadership. That, Father, everything in life will be centered on things above and not on things of the earth. And Lord, if we do that first, and if they do that first, they won't have to worry about who they're going to marry, what job they're going to have, where they're going to live, what will take place, because it will all be in your hands, Lord. And you promised them, Lord, if they would seek first the kingdom and all your righteousness, that all these things would be added to them. They wouldn't have to worry about it. They wouldn't have to waste their trying to press ambitions to try to press for certain things and certain jobs, certain homes and boyfriends, girlfriends. Lord, you would lead them and guide them by your Holy Spirit. And that's what we want, Lord. I trust that will be the desire in every one of their hearts, that they'll find that complete leadership from you. Something's going to lead them, Lord. Something down in life is going to lead them. They may think, well, I get of age and I get my own job and get my own home. I can lead myself. But Lord, they don't realize that their home can lead them. Their job can lead them. Their wife can lead them. Their children can lead them. Without you, Lord, it'll truly be a waste. But Father, through you and through that genuine new birth, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in their life, you will always be the leadership. And you will always be the one that gives them the ambition and desire to follow you. I'm asking, Lord, that you be merciful and bless these young people. Watch over them and keep them, Lord, in your care. And may each one of them, Lord, surrender their life completely to you. That's my prayer, Lord. I trust, O God, I'll be able to see that before you appear. That before they're 21, Lord, all of them will give their life to you. Maybe they'll be 14. Maybe they'll be 12. Whatever it may be, they'll be led to Christ. And then, Lord, they may think, well, nobody would notice me if I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, as I've seen and raised children myself, at a young age, Lord, seeing ones in my family filled with the Holy Ghost, I've seen lives change, Lord. Oh, there's so much better obedience and honoring father and mother and trying to do that which pleases you. Yes, there was things, maybe there was traps and different things that happened in life, but you was always there to pull them through. And how we appreciate it, Father. We ask now that you'll bless these young people. And may they understand that I love them. And Father, I'd do anything I possibly could for them. I pray that you'll bless them now. In your most holy, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing a little chorus together. I love him. Do you love him? Amen. I trust you'll love him with all your heart. all your life. Amen. Let's sing it together.
I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Amen. I want to say I appreciated that song you sang tonight. Appreciate it with all my heart. Trust that something's said tonight to help each one of you. And as I said, I love every one of you and pray God will bless you. Amen. I keep praying for you. Amen. And you pray for me. Will you do that? Amen. May God richly bless you. You're all dismissed.